Good afternoon and welcome to another awesome hour on The Grace Hour. Today we'll be talking about our theme we've been talking about all week, about conspiracies. If you'd like to join us today, you can subscribe on the show through YouTube, Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. You can also log in via email with questions at questions@gracehour.org. We're also live on Facebook Live as well, in gracehour.org. You can also call in. We'd love to talk to you today. You can call in at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 410-483-3700. We'd like to call in and hear your thoughts concerning what you've heard this week about conspiracies, conspiracies in the heart of man, conspiracies in the church, conspiracies. So log in, watch us on the podcast, watch us on the Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and also you can write in your questions and comments. So today I'm in studio with Pastor Billy, and we're talking about spiritual conspiracies. Spiritual conspiracies.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Would you read for me a couple of verses, Acts 11, 19-23? Excuse me. I got to get some water.
Acts 11, 19-23.
Sorry about that. Airplane ride.
Okay. Acts 11, 23.
19-23.
Got it. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jew only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
If you connect that particular verse with John 1, 14-18, it talks about seeing God, what it means to see God. We beheld his glory full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son who was in the bosom or the intimate presence of the Father. He's brought him out where he can be seen. He's brought him out where he can be seen. And I think one of the greatest conspiracies that could ever take place would be the conspiracy of somehow distorting the character and nature of God. This is a satanic principle that has been all the way from Genesis 3 to right even this very day and age, and even we see it in the book of Acts. So in other words, there is a conspiracy, a deception, a thought-out purpose with a procedure that's very progressive to distort the character and nature of God. And the enemy would love to have say, sure, like we're worshiping God, we know Jesus, and this is who Jesus is. But the Jesus that they are talking about is a different Jesus than what the Bible speaks about and what the Holy Spirit brings a revelation to. So a great conspiracy would be to remove all of the foundations that we have in Christianity and remove them from grace. I was thinking about simply this. What if there's the Word of God, but it's not a grace word? That's one of the conspiracies of the devil, to bring in legalism like he did with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all kinds of legalistic movements that have happened down through the ages. You see, it's very tricky because it's not a conspiracy that would tell us we should worship this God or that God or this religion or that religion. It just is going to distort the very character and nature of God. So you take grace away from the word, and it really isn't the word again at all. It's not the word. It's a word, but a word that's a letter that kills when the Spirit gives life. So a conspiracy to remove grace from the Word of God. Remember, it says this, that we beheld his glory full of grace and truth, and he's the Word of God. And Paul said in Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So take away grace from the word. And so now you've left people with the word, but it's a letter. It is a letter, and it's legalism, something contrary to the character and nature of God. Now, take away grace from prayer. You take away grace from prayer, And now we are praying. And what is our prayer? What is the motivation of our prayer? To get what we want or to make all these requests unto God? But it's not prayer to the throne of grace. And we do not get help in time of need. So taking grace away from prayer, that people would be praying, being driven, somehow making it a forced thing, that we would be praying without grace and praying to a throne that's not the throne of God. So prayer without grace. Then we have the church. And how about if we have the church without grace? So there's a church, ecclesia, those who are called out by God. And we'll be talking about this tonight in Bible college. There's a church, but there's no grace in the church. It's not like Acts 11, 19 through 23. It's not like Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 7. It has nothing to do with 1 Peter 5, 5, 10, and 12. There's a church without grace. And that church is going to do more damage than good. That church is going to do more damage than good. It's a conspiracy. Yes, let them have a church, but let it be something other than God's character and nature. And that's what religion is all about. We have this all over the world today. You can go, especially in Africa, when I've been there and I've seen so many different churches that believe so many different things, so many strange and alien doctrines. And grace has been removed from the church. Next, remove grace from the gospel. It's no longer a gospel of grace. It's just you can't even call it a gospel because the gospel means good news. So now the enemy is propagating a gospel that has nothing to do with the nature and character of God. It's not the gospel of grace. And we heard Paul say in Galatians 1, 6 through 10, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some who would trouble you, and they pervert the gospel. They're gospel perverts. Okay? He says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel other than what you have received, let him be anathema. So take grace from the gospel. Then it's not good news anymore. It becomes something that I have to do, or in some religious context. So the great conspiracy of the enemy is just to remove the nature and character of God. Oh yes, it's okay. Just keep going. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep going to church. Keep bringing a message to people. But it's contrary to the character and nature of God. And what greater conspiracy could there be than that very conspiracy? Because you've got all the basics. You've got the word. You've got prayer. You've got church life. You've got gospel message, but without God's character and nature. So he brings this in. And Even it was Paul who said it in Galatians 3, verse 1 to 3, O foolish Galatians, non-thinking ones, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a satanic spell over you? So the enemy bringing in something, removing grace and bringing in something else to take its place, that is a conspiracy. That's a conspiracy that began in Genesis chapter 3, all the way from the time when they sinned and they fell, and God gave them skins. And the accusations that would come, even before that, in heaven with Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, that the devil going against the God of all grace. And really, this is so important because people can be functioning and there can be churches and thousands of churches everywhere, but they are not churches that have the character and nature of God. They can be saved. Born again, doesn't matter. If somebody's born again and they do not have the life and character of God that is operating, this is operation grace, not just positional grace, but operational grace, then what a sad day it is in Christianity. So conspiracy, a thought-out purpose and process of deception that would cause people to be engaged in something other than the character and nature of God. This is what conspiracy is. This is what deception is. And Satan is the author of it. He's the author of it. All through the scriptures, you can see it taking place. Conspiracy after conspiracy in many different types of form. Think about Acts chapter 5. What did they do? They came and they said, you know, this is the money that we got for the land we sold. Oh, really? You know what? They didn't have to bring the money. They didn't have to sell the land. But what it is an anti-grace spirit. And that's a conspiracy. Conspiracy. And try to bring that in to infect the church. Look through the book of Acts and see how many times the enemy would try to come in and infect the church mm-hmm. with wrong teaching, with wrong objective, with wrong purpose. And it's a conspiracy when grace is removed, when grace is taken out. So, Father, thank you today. Help us to be people who are adhering to the grace of God, a word of grace, prayer to the throne of grace, a church of grace, a gospel of grace, and a grace life,
mm-hmm.
a grace life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just thoughts as we get ready to take phone calls. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear from you. You can email questions and comments to questions@gracehour.org. And you can also send them in to Facebook Live and YouTube Live with your questions and comments. I want to bring this up, Pastor Belly, that in conspiracy, I love your definition for a conspiracy. Ultimately, it is a conspiratorial mindset. It's conspiratorial activity. It's a conspiratorial relationship that is ultimately against the character of God, the grace of God. And that manifests in a variety of ways. Most of us, when you follow it through the scriptures, you see a conspiracy within an organizational group of people where one group turns against another, like mm-hmm. you saw with Korah in Numbers 16, Diotrephes also in 3 John. But there's layers to this. There's a personal conspiracy. And using your definition, maybe personally, I try to live a religious life mm-hmm. divorced from the grace of God. And then you mentioned Acts chapter 5. In my marriage, we have fellowship in our marriage, or we operate in the marriage, anti-grace in the marriage. That could also mm-hmm. be considered marital conspiracy. In the church, maybe there's a group of people that are operating, and the word there for conspiracy, the prefix is a Greek prefix for together, like soon, that we're mm-hmm. conspiring together in evil against the character of God. It could be in a small group, or it could be within a denomination of several churches in league with each other against that thought, that mindset. So I guess we think about this biblically. How does the Bible really address when you discover that? Say you discover it in your life, or you discover it in your marriage, or you discover it in the church. What does the Bible really say of how to handle that?
Very simply, a change has to take place.
Okay.
In other words, you got to receive from the right source.
Okay.
In other words, I find out in my marriage, it's all about works or legalism mm-hmm. or an expectation of the person in the marriage that's contrary to the grace of God. So I have to, in other words, I have to have a change within me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am operating in legalism, law, works, trying to have things take place that through my own self-effort, then I've got to go to another source. How does the change take place? It takes place by a word that most people do not like to mention. It's called repentance.
Okay.
Change your thinking. Sometimes it just comes out as a word that's a denominational word that causes people to run away.
Sure.
But it really is metanoia, change my thinking. And after I change my thinking, I'm going to change where I'm receiving from.
Right.
So if I am not receiving from the God of all grace in my personal life, then there's an old sin nature conspiracy.
Hmm.
You might call it an old sin nature conspiracy. Remember, a satanic initiation, okay, a satanic initiation into the old sin nature,
mm-hmm.
that's what creates a conspiracy. Here comes the projections of Satan. And it meets, and it can only find the place in the old sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
So a satanic projection meets a human reflection, and something is produced.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a conspiracy of the old sin nature and the devil. The devil, the old sin nature, and using the world system.
Okay.
Okay, so we got to get those three enemies in there.
Okay.
James chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
Right.
1 Peter chapter 5. You see the same thing. The three enemies are spoken of there.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a conspiracy, those three working together, the mm-hmm. old sin nature, the devil, and the system that has been built. By the way, what is the world anyway? Let's define that.
Okay.
It can be very abstract to people. The world just has two sources, Satan and the old sin nature, and they make the world.
Okay.
The world is the word cosmos, that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. And what makes that an alien is the devil and demons and the old sin nature. They're the source of the world. The world, what is the world anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is those two sources. Those are the two major enemies. We think about the three enemies, we bring the world into it. That's okay. But the world really is built upon as a source coming from the old sin nature and the devil and demons. So there's a conspiracy that's going on, and that is Satan trying to get at the old sin nature of the Christian. He really doesn't have to do a whole lot of work when it comes to unbelievers, because he already has them.
Right.
He already kind of owns them in one aspect, you know. But when a church or a Christian is there, and he is not a Word of God Christian, he does not understand the nature and character of God, he's not in a church, he doesn't care much about the gospel, they become a great target for the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And a conspiracy can take place, and it can start with one person. Let's talk about a one-man conspiracy.
Right.
It begins with a person. One person, you can see this in the scriptures, one person gets evil, Judas.
Okay.
And then he tries to bring in people to kind of cooperate and be with that conspiracy that he started. Then it can go into a smaller group.
Yep.
Maybe you got this smaller group who has bewitched you in Galatians, mm-hmm. a small group in a church. And by the way, the interesting thing about conspiracy is oftentimes the person that is involved with it doesn't even know it's a conspiracy.
Really?
It's so satanic. And it's so seductive. They don't even know it. Sometimes they'll think they're doing good,
right.
That this is okay. They don't even know it's conspiratorial. You know, like how about like this? I'm talking to you, and I'm saying, listen, help me out. You don't really. I need help on Saturday morning. You don't really need to go on evangelism. You know, huh. You could do it some other time or whatever. And they may not say evangelism is wrong,
right.
But they'll just try to get you away from it. And that is maybe an individual conspiratorial mm-hmm. initiation from somebody who's not controlled by God.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a little thing. You don't need to go to church three times a week,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like I go twice and that's enough. I go Sunday and Wednesdays, you know, or whatever it is. You don't need to read your Bible every day. Come mm-hmm. on, you know? I mean, you know, the Bible every day? Mm-hmm. Read the Bible every day? Love people unconditionally? Don't you know what that, you know, how can you love everybody unconditionally? So there's these projections from the enemy
mm-hmm.
that are trying to go into the old sin nature.
Gotcha.
And bring in a conspiracy, a personal conspiracy. That's where it begins, an individual.
Okay, then it grows.
Then it grows. Then that individual is looking for somebody to kind of cooperate with them because mm-hmm. it justifies them in a way, and it kind of like relieves them of any guilt they might have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they've got like one or two people. You can see how that happened in the scriptures. It was Ananias and Sapphira. Who did it start with? I don't know. It doesn't really say. Maybe it was the husband. And a conspiracy started. You know, mm-hmm. Diotrephes, a conspiracy starts. Beginning with an individual, and then it begins to, because of demonic forces and demonic activity, it begins to grow.
Well, that's,
evil has to grow.
Well, that's my question. Right there. Okay, you see it. It's happening in front of you. And maybe you're in it and you don't know it. Or let's say you discern it. Scripturally, how do you really approach that? How do you deal with that?
Well, if you're in it and you don't know it, you wouldn't even have a desire to deal with it, would you?
Not so much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're in it and all of a sudden you become aware, what you need to do is get God's thoughts, number one,
okay,
and develop a mindset, number two, and then separate yourself from anybody that has a conspiratorial spirit. That has conspiracy, that's thinking that way. And it might be they have that because they're very immature. They mm-hmm. don't even know they're mm-hmm. conspiratorial.
Yeah.
They have no idea. Or maybe it is something that you see and you need to stay away from. Do you ever notice, like I've noticed this that's happened in my years in Christianity. How is it that an ex-alcoholic finds another ex-alcoholic in the church and they become really good friends and they start talking about what they used to do and how they got delivered? Be very careful of that. Because what ends up happening is, before you know it,
mm-hmm.
There's a satanic, demonic conspiracy taking place. Now it's got two objects, two people,
mm-hmm.
and now it begins to go to work. And maybe there's a woman who is not very happy with her husband, and all of a sudden she finds herself gravitating towards some other man,
mm-hmm.
even in the church, and that's conspiracy. So it begins with an individual, and then it grows.
Mm-hmm.
It can go one, it goes to two. It can even get bigger, and it can grow, and it can grow quickly.
Well, sometimes also too, I mean, maybe, as you said, a conspiracy is happening. Multiple folks are involved. It's mostly verbal.
Yeah,
it's mostly the multiplier seems to be verbal. The genesis is the old sin nature, but the multiplier is verbal. Then all of a sudden you see it. Is there ever like a time where you say, well, I'm not going to deal with that. Sometimes a lot of church leadership will not address a conspiracy. They will just let it sit. Is there ever a time?
You know why? Because I want everybody to like me.
Oh.
I want everybody to like me. I would never dare address a problem in a brother or sister's life because it might offend them. Jesus said in John 6, and you know there was something going on there.
Yes.
You know, because the devil was right there with Judas, okay, in 666 and 67 and onward, you know, and many walk no more with him.
Yep.
See, Judas started a lot of things there just with having an antichrist spirit.
Right.
And so they don't want to recognize it. Maybe they are afraid to deal with it, okay?
Okay.
So they just go along with it rather than cause a ruffle, something to take place in the relationship where all of a sudden now that person is going to like maybe not be drawn to them. And I want everybody to like me, so I'll put up with whatever they're doing. And it's really interesting because it's just something that appeases the flesh.
Okay.
It appeases the flesh. The new man wants nothing to do with that. The new man will call it what it is, you know, call it what it is. I said to a person one time, like, "Why you seem to be drawing near to me or around me, and I'm afraid I don't sense the Holy Spirit in it. Would you mind going in another direction? would you mind like going another direction and gravitate towards somebody else?"
Did you say that lovingly?
Yes, I did. And in all reality, like sometimes we are afraid to say the truth in love.
Okay.
See, we don't want to say the truth in a way that's contrary to the Spirit.
Okay.
But we do need to speaking the truth in love. And you can see Paul doing that. I mean, what did Paul do? He withstood Peter to the face. Mm-hmm. Peter had started a conspiracy with the Galatians.
Wow.
Hadn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Remember James was coming up from Jerusalem, and he withdrew himself.
Yep. Barnabas
too. And that was conspiratorial.
Yep.
He withdrew himself from the Gentiles. Mm. So now he's saying that my viewpoint of how the gospel works is the Jews and the Gentiles do not get along, even Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to withdraw myself. And what he's doing is he's starting a conspiracy where there's separation. And there's party spirits taking place. And this is interesting. You see that happening in Corinth also.
Yes.
I am for Paul. I am for Apollos. I am for Cephas.
Mm-hmm.
I am for the Jesus party. And these things begin. And they begin, oftentimes, it seems like sentimentality can come in.
Okay.
It seems like, you know, personality or rapport can come in.
A wound.
And it can be somebody, a wound. Anything that can be there to make those things happen. And it justifies my decision making, you know. I don't want my children to be involved with somebody who loves evangelism because I don't do it. That's conspiratorial. And in one aspect, it's conspiratorial. It really is. I don't want them to be around. Or we say these are the people in the church that are spiritual, and these are the people that are not spiritual. These are the people that go to, they go to raps all the time, you know.
Mm.
And they got nothing else to do with their life. That's conspiratorial.
Wow.
That's conspiratorial, isn't it? When you think about it, I'm hitting home on some interesting things.
Yeah.
You know, it's conspiratorial, you know, that you would care about evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't care about evangelism, so I will make sure I have not much to do with you at all because I don't see that as something that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than trying to ask God for help and going forward with that, no, I'm going to have an attitude towards the person that does it.
So all right, let's say that I discern the conspiracy is discovered. How do we deal with the conspirators? And that's where the question is. Okay,
go to your brother alone. That's got to be number one.
Okay.
Okay. Go to your brother alone. You realize that your brother is, maybe he's trapped, doesn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's deceived, doesn't even know it. You go to your brother alone in meekness and try to win them.
Okay.
Okay. And then and that means going to each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in churches where this has happened. Okay. And it's a one-on-one thing. It's a one-on-one thing. And unless, like, there can be circumstances. I remember at a particular church meeting, I said, like, it seems like since I've come back from overseas, and I've been gone like 5 or 6 years, that what's taken place here has nothing to do with grace. It's not grace anymore in the leadership of the church.
Wow.
And I said, like, how long did it take the seven of you to get deceived? Or do you even know you're deceived? Now, I don't recommend having to do that.
How was that received?
That was not received very well. The way it was received was, would you mind like leaving the church?
Yeah.
You know, but you know, there can be a time when, you know, Paul has to address something face to face.
Right.
In Galatians 2. Mm. He's got to do that, you know? And it's not a comfortable thing to do. It's going to be a spiritual thing. It's nothing that the flesh desires to do at all.
Who wants to rock the boat?
No. Nobody wants to rock the boat.
Yeah.
But what happens if the boat is rocking and then it sinks? So, you know, in other words, like, I don't want to rock the boat,
right,
but I got to rock the boat. Otherwise, they're going in a wrong direction.
So me as a body member confronting someone that's conspiratorial is one thing. But how about me as a leader? A lot of leaders listen to our program. I'm a leader and I discern conspiracy. How do I approach that?
I still think it's one-on-one.
Okay.
I don't think you can get away from Galatians chapter 1 to Matthew 18, 15, mm-hmm. Galatians 6, 1.
Yep.
You've got to go to your brother alone.
Okay.
And if that means going to five of them alone, you go to five of them alone.
Okay.
And say, I discern, please help me out. It's how you do it too. I'm discerning that something is not correct here. Okay. Could you explain to me why,
mm-hmm.
why this is going on? What's taking place here? What's going on here? And is this scriptural? Is this spiritual? Does that mean I have to go to them alone, or maybe I meet them together because it's a full blown conspiracy where it's more than one person, mm-hmm. it's six or seven people, you know?
Yep.
And I remember one time having to do it with the whole church and standing in front of the church and saying, do you realize that in the last 5 or 6 years, there is no evangelism in this church. There is no body life. There are no raps. There is no Bible school that's anymore. What's happened here? What's going on here? That's addressing. It's conspiratorial. See, Satan has taken them away mm-hmm. from the fundamentals of the faith.
Okay.
And by the way, you got to have courage to do this. I'm not talking about myself, but you've got to say, like, what if I can save some of them?
Yeah.
What if some of them will really listen? Mm. And we know that I've seen it take place where people have listened, and maybe even half the church decided to go in the right direction.
Well, let's flip that. Let's say that the conspiracy has been addressed. Now the question is, how do you restore a wounded congregation? Because the thing about a conspiracy, depending upon the size, it can ravage a church.
Yeah. You've got to unconditionally love people. You got to preach the truth
okay.
from the pulpit. But if you have that option to preach, yeah. what if you don't have that option to preach? You're not the preacher. In other words, you realize you've mm-hmm. been involved as a pastor,
yes.
a preacher in conspiracy.
Okay.
And I don't want to talk always on that level because a lot of people aren't church leaders out there.
Understood.
Know? But it's kind of like I discern that something has taken place here. Then God, help me and show me how to bring in love, mercy, and grace and truth into the congregation.
Wow.
And be willing to say, somehow I was a part of something I didn't even realize it.
Wow.
Know? And really is key.
That's a big
that.
Word. Yeah. That's a tough
it's
thing.
Called humility?
Yeah. That's yeah. like swallowing. We got a couple questions online. And by the way, we'd love to hear your questions and comments. You can write into us at on Facebook Live, on YouTube Live, also at Grace Hour. Questions at gracehour.org, or you can even better call in 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. Elizabeth writes in, those who have been taught incorrectly by churches, and in some cases I don't know, how could we pray for them in those churches?
Huh. Well, they've been taught incorrectly by churches?
Yeah, they've been, as far as concerning the conspiracy court to race.
I would say, number one, we pray that they would have the spiritual life to go to people alone in meekness
okay.
and try to correct it. If it cannot be corrected, then maybe you need to walk away. I'm not going to be involved in a church that is doing things contrary to the Bible and the grace of God and the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to grow? Now, there can be cases where God keeps you there because of the body of Christ's sake and other people. So I can't put like, this is an absolute on this. But why am I going to sit there and listen to something that is totally contrary to God's nature and character?
Hmm.
Why am I going to do that? How is that going to help me out? Hmm. Now, if I feel I have a ministry to a lot of people in the church, one time Pastor Stevens told me to stay in a place.
Okay.
Stay there. And it was like about 2 years.
Wow.
And it wasn't easy.
In the conspiracy.
Stay
around it.
Stay there because there's precious people. And many of those people ended up moving. Okay.
Because honestly speaking, the role would be to get out.
Yeah, that would be my first intention and first desire to run for it, to get out. But he said, like, I know you, and you're not gonna. I know you can do this. You know.
Wow.
So I'm not saying that's for everybody, but
no.
But I'm gonna stay in the place there, and I'm gonna be very much aggressive with the message of grace and the life of grace. I'm not going to stay there and just swallow everything.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's the part that says I want to run and hide or leave, and there's the part that says I'm going to stay and fight. And both of those two thoughts are going through your mind when you discern that there's a serious conspiracy, particularly when you see it has size. Like if it's three or four people is one thing, but when it's like a group of people within a group, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of soul power, influence, and power in that.
And you have to just trust God. Like God opened up a hole, and there goes Korah. Okay,
went to
he
hell
opened
alive.
Up a hole. He went. He opened up a hole, and we see what's happened with people that were conspiratorial in the Bible.
Okay.
We've got to let God deal with it because God knows how to deal with it, when to deal with it, you know, and who to deal with. You know, we might act too quickly or something like that, you know, or we might wait too long. We've got to really be led by the Spirit and have God show us exactly what to do and when to do it and whatnot. And then, you know, I just think that I've been involved in these kind of things.
I'm coming to that.
Plenty of them, you know, not plenty of them, but enough of them.
You've been involved with conspiracies in multiple continents. I'm going to come to that in a second. The second question I want to get to online, though, Elizabeth asks, suppose a person sees it, and by that I mean a conspiracy, in a church that they're attending and or they're in the presence of it, and they say something because God has led them to say something, but they're ignored.
Well, first of all, you better make sure that you are absolutely correct about what you're seeing.
Okay.
A lot of times people, because of maybe they're not very spiritual or they don't have a lot of discernment, because of their relationship in the Word of God is not very sound and strong, they might see something in their emotions, or they might see something that they think is conspiratorial and it's not.
Okay.
So I think we have to be very careful with that. And that means, once again, going to a person alone, saying, I don't understand. Am I seeing this incorrectly? Something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think, once again, it's a one-on-one thing. Mm-hmm. It's not for me to stand up in church and start shouting, you know, this church is off with God and all that kind of stuff. That's an emotionalism, and that's a spirit that is not of God at all, you know. It's not of God at all. So I've got to check myself,
okay,
and then in meekness go to a person, all right, and then not talk about it to other people. You know, this church is...
That's important there.
Yeah, just like, you know, be still and know that He is God. Study to be quiet, you know, and then trust God, because can God, I want to know, I have a question. I want to know the answer. Can God deal with conspiracies? Yes, He can.
Yeah.
And yes, He can use people to do it. But you know what? If people do not do it, God can still deal with it.
Okay.
He can bring the house down if He has to, you know.
Wow. Wow.
He can bring it down. He can bring it down. And who knows? And then people get scattered. I mean, what took place, you know? They were supposed to. You could say this could be called a conspiracy, but I don't know if I want to go with it that way. They refused to leave Jerusalem. They were told Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world.
That's interesting.
They weren't going, and so God says, "Here comes Saul of Tarsus. I'll make you go."
Yep.
In other words, how about an anti-mission conspiracy? How about churches that have an anti-missions conspiracy? The leadership is, how about an anti-soul-winning conspiracy? How about an anti-Bible college, Bible teaching conspiracy? And anybody want to talk about those anti-prayer meeting conspiracies? You know what?
But I would say that those are often the fruit of a conspiracy. Oftentimes when you have a conspiracy happening, these things are not happening or they start to go down.
Yeah.
Would you
and people that will just like not be pro,
right?
Like having let's have training and teaching in the church, and leadership doesn't want to do that, or people don't want to respond. Well, that's conspiratorial. It really, really is.
Wow,
it really is. In one aspect, in other words, the leadership doesn't see the importance of training people in the Word. Okay, and we've got churches all over the world, 768 of them, and you know, speaking to people like, well, you know, Bible school isn't for everybody in every church. Oh, really? So learning the Bible isn't for everybody? Is that what you're saying to me? That's very interesting. And I don't care if you got two people in class.
Right.
I remember going to Bible classes with three people.
Yep.
You know, in the class.
Done those.
And you know what? So I don't want to hear those kind of statements because they're conspiratorial.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very careful. Even the lifestyle a person lives, you know, it could be conspiratorial, the way that they function in life.
Okay.
You know, they got to have 4 cars and 17 pairs of shoes. That could be conspiratorial. No, it could be.
There's a lot of conspiracy in our nation.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, no, really, it could be that churches are conspiratorial and don't even know it, because all they do is promoting money, riches, and fame and recognition. That's conspiratorial, because mm-hmm. Jesus didn't promote recognition and fame.
Nope.
And he had no place to lay his head. So, you know, this conspiracy thing can hit in a lot of places that maybe we don't even think about.
Yeah, it's
true. We're thinking about, you know.
We're thinking about 4 guys that want to take the pulpit.
Four guys that want to take the pulpit, right. But before that 4 guys want to take the pulpit begins, there's a lot of other things that are going on.
Interesting.
In other words, they're going through personal conspiracies in their own life.
Okay.
In other words, this is what God's calling is for my life, but I get conspiratorial against the call of God in my life, and I want it to be something else.
Okay.
I want to be the pastor. I'm called to be a servant, but I want to be the person that's leading the church. That's a conspiracy. Mm. That is a subtle conspiracy of the flesh and the devil.
Mm. I think what you said is really clear here is that when you're talking about a conspiracy, you're not talking about sin. You're talking about evil.
Evil.
You're into evil.
Right.
So there are powers and forces that are involved here that are deeper than just the frailty of man.
Well, there's the thing. We've always got that definition. Sin falls short of God's glory.
Right.
Evil attacks God's glory. Mm. There's always that difference. Mm-hmm. See, sin, harmatia, falling short of the glory of God, but evil attacks God's glory. Elymas the sorcerer mm-hmm. is evil.
Wow.
Okay? Ananias and Sapphira got into evil, okay? Mm. Peter's a sinner, mm-hmm. okay? Thomas the doubter is a sinner. But you can see the difference between Korah and company are evil. Aaron and Moses were sinners, okay? Mm-hmm. So when you get into evil, you're being driven by forces that are outside of your control, or you want nothing to do. They're just there. It's satanic forces that are driving the old sin nature mm-hmm. and going forward and just trying to destroy the church. Because evil's objective is to destroy the church, to destroy the glory of God, to go against the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And this is what evil is. So a conspiracy of evil. You can see it. You see it in the scriptures. And you see how Paul dealt with it too. Okay. He dealt with it in Galatia, head up, straight on.
Confrontation.
Yes, there was confrontation there.
But that was
foolish
public.
Galatians, who has bewitched you? You know, he dealt with it publicly in yes. Galatians 2 and Acts 15.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, a lot of people don't even want to go near that kind of thing.
No.
You know, they don't want to get near that. They don't want to. Then that person's not going to like me if I confront them, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thank God that God confronts us.
Yeah.
And he loves us. That's why he confronts us when we're going in the wrong direction.
But sometimes we run the other way too. We're confronting everybody over here, or we're not confronting anybody over here, and the balance is...
Yeah. But we've got to watch out for evil, because it's very subtle today.
Okay.
It's very subtle. And 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, evil waxes worse and worse. Mm-hmm. That means it's contagious, it's progressive, it has a purpose, has power to it, and initiates.
Say that again slowly. It's contagious.
It's contagious.
It's progressive.
Progressive, has a personal purpose,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's going against the church. It's going against Christ.
Okay.
Because it already tried to do that in heaven. So mm-hmm. what's it going to attack? The body, the church mm-hmm. on earth. So it's something that's going against the church and the individual believer, okay? And without a doubt, and that's what you can see taking place all over Christianity. And if we don't recognize it, we don't know. If you don't know the enemy that you're fighting, mm-hmm. then you're defeated. Mm. You know, you don't know your enemy. We have an enemy. And it's very clear how Jesus would tell us about the enemy. Very clear how Peter would say it, and Paul would say it, and James would say it. They would let us know. They would teach us about the tactics,
mm-hmm.
you know, the wiles of the devil,
mm.
okay, the methods of the enemy, understanding that and discerning that, so that we don't end up like all of a sudden being in a conspiracy and we don't even know that we're in it. We got a conspiracy of, well, how come, how about people that think that like God, well, how come he didn't heal somebody?
Yes.
And then they start a conspiracy against God because he didn't heal one of their family members or something like that, you know? And by the way, everybody gets healed because you get a new body when you go to heaven.
Mm.
That's an interesting thought. And you get a new body when you go to heaven. So as you look through the scriptures, you can see it. There were attacks against Ezra and Nehemiah. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian?
Yes.
And they would come against, hey, come on down. Or can we work with you? Remember?
Yes.
They wanted to, in Ezra chapter 4 and 5, they wanted to work with Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very careful about the people that want to help you.
Okay.
You know? In other words, people can feed into a system of the world as a church, get all kinds of money from that system. If they're not careful, before you know it, that system is in the door.
Wow.
That system is in the door. And you have to be so careful. I've had so many people, I remember in all the days in Africa where people wanted to work with us, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they weren't saved churches. And I'm saying, I'm not letting, no, I'm sorry.
Mm.
I will minister to you. I will tell you about the gospel. I will preach to you, but I can't work with you. I can't work with you. And because what will end up happening is I work with a person that says, you are saved by keeping the Sabbath. I got trouble. I'm going to have trouble in my church. I work with people that say that if you're born again, you have to have this particular gift. You know, if you're born again, you can't be born again unless you're baptized. I start working with those people, and before you know it, I've let something in. And before you know it, conspiracy.
What's interesting is that you give a place to the devil in Ephesians 4, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking about 2 Samuel 15:11, the 200 men that went with Solomon. It says they went in their simplicity.
Yeah,
they don't even know what they're getting into, that they're walking in evil. In a conspiracy, yeah. 200 men are following Absalom against his father, and they don't even understand. Or, or the greatest conspiracy, two-thirds of the angelic host, well, one-third rather, looks at God and follows Lucifer, one-third of the angelic host.
That's powerful, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It make you think about the importance of walking in truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, my little children, I'm so glad to hear that you walk in truth. I have such joy that you walk in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And and here comes the enemy. He's going contrary to the truth.
Mm.
You know, it might be true according to this world system. It
mm-hmm.
might be true according to sentimentality, but it's not true according to the scriptures. And therefore, this is the beginning of it. I just allow. Remember that thing, that saying I had, I think if I remember it now correctly, error, once it grips the mind, assumes an importance more than the truth itself.
Yes.
Error, mm-hmm. once it grips the mind, assumes an importance more than the truth itself. We just let a little error in, you mm-hmm. know, a little error in.
Mm.
It's okay. I don't have to love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
God loves her. I don't have to, you know, like, think about my children's spiritual education or life. Just a little error, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned, you know, and all that, but I don't have to be that concerned about mm-hmm. it, you know. Oh, it's okay. Let them watch what they want on TV. Yeah, and before you know it, you have a mind that's been just corrupted by that which comes across, you know. So,
what would you say in all the experiences you've had with all the conspiracies you've had all over the world, is the biggest problem in the conspiracy when you're in it and you realize that this is a conspiracy and it's full blown? And
when you're in it, or why did you get into it?
Well, once you're in it, now you realize you're in it. What's the biggest problem you see?
Well, not being able to receive truth.
Okay.
Okay, spiritual truth
mm-hmm.
and the life of God. Because deception is it's something that is like contrary to truth.
Mm-hmm.
I can't receive truth in this area, in a particular area. I can't receive truth. So you've left your wife, or you're involved in something that's going on in the church, and it's contrary to the truth, and you can't receive the truth.
Mm.
So there's like literally the spirit wants to bring truth in to the mind, but I'm not receptive to it.
Wow.
I'm not meek. I'm not humble towards grace and meek towards the truth, so I can't receive it. And this is the biggest problem that's going on. And you can tell somebody like this, do you realize that you're drowning right now? And you're mm-hmm. standing there with a, you know, what do they call those things?
Life preserver.
They're standing there with a life preserver, and they're saying, what are you talking about? I don't even see any water. You know, they don't see it.
Wow.
Deception.
So what's the solution to that? Okay, that's the biggest problem. What's the solution to when you realize that's what the situation?
You've got to appropriate truth
okay.
in an abundance. You've got to just like be hid in the truth, in the word, in your personal walk with God, and in the church, and being mm-hmm. around other believers. Because you might become a person that's receiving truth, but it's according to the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
according to like your particular bent or something.
Sure.
But you need to be around spiritual people who have the truth. So we need to be around church people that have the truth, receiving the truth, hearing from the pulpit, hearing from the Word of God, studying the Bible. I mean, the truth will set you free. Isn't that what John 8:31-36 says?
Yeah.
The only way to freedom is by the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, and by the truth of the Word of God. And of course, it's because of grace.
Sure.
Galatians 5:1, we are set free as grace gives us His Spirit and His truth.
Yep.
And I have to be a receiver of that. If I refuse to receive it, then I'm just going to continue to live in that conspiracy. And it may have changes in some way, you know, or maybe I'm not so much caught up in this aspect of the conspiracy, but now this aspect of the conspiracy. So the enemy can have a field day with people that don't have truth.
Well, and so it seems at the end of the day, my inability to receive truth will ultimately lead me to a conspiracy. And my availability to receive truth can ultimately lead me out of a conspiracy.
Absolutely. What is it? What is the correct the old sin nature? It's the truth of the new man. How else do I get out of the old sin nature? Is a liar.
Yes.
Okay. The old man is a liar.
Okay.
And that's Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. You can see that, you know. So how do I get out of the lie? I've got to bring truth in. I've got to be a receiver of truth. And maybe I don't want it. How about this one? I want to get out of this conspiracy by you just praying for me.
That's normally, I mean, it's like,
it's not going to do it.
Pray for me, Pastor Schiavelli.
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can, Pastor Schiavelli.
I would say, I'll pray for you that you become a receiver of truth.
Oh.
I'll pray for you that you would become a receiver of truth and doctrine and God's thought and God's word. Because that's how a person is delivered.
Yeah, yeah.
How does Ananias and Sapphira get delivered? By the word.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't receive it, so we know what happened. Okay.
And maybe I'm around. This is another one. Maybe I'm around, but I'm still not receiving. But I'm on the edges of the church, on the body of Christ. I'm in the vicinity. I'm here. And we say, well, you're here. The conspiracy will just go away because you're present.
Well, I'm only going to receive truth as it pertains to the areas I want it to.
Ah, selective truth.
Yeah, I'm selectively submitted. Liberia, that was the message in Liberia many years ago. Selective submission, based upon my situation.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this is the problem. So you have selective submission. I'm in the church. I'm hearing the messages, but are you receiving? Receive with meekness that implanted and grafted word which can deliver your soul.
Mm-hmm.
If I just come to church and I don't receive anything, I never get delivered. I don't get delivered just by coming to church.
But that's the assumption. The assumption is that if I'm on the premises, I show up,
no.
Deliverance comes.
Wrong presumption.
Wow.
Yeah, you presumed against God.
Okay.
I come to church and all I'm doing is looking at my iPhone, which I don't have, never, I don't want one. The last phone I had, I took a hedge clipper and cut it in half. And I said, I'm never getting one of those again.
That's not counsel, by the way.
I'm sorry. Well, no, you can give
it
to
advice.
We can sell
not
it.
Counsel. No.
But it's kind of like, you know, I want to be a receiver of truth.
Yes.
I've got to be a receiver of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If I receive truth for 10 days and 20 days, I don't even care about the Bible.
Yeah.
Guess what's going to happen? And then there's areas I will receive truth in, but there's other areas I will not receive truth in because I don't want the truth in that area. I have a mental block to that. I am deceived in that area and don't go there. Don't go there. Don't talk about there.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's people that will avoid you if there's a certain area that you live in truth and they don't. They'll make sure that they're not around you.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. That can happen in a church or in any time. They just don't want to be around, you know? They may greet you, say hello, and they're
hey.
There. But I come to church to be a receiver of truth.
Okay.
Of course, to be a person that's around the body of Christ, you know? And I am not concerned about exactly what's going on. I love music, but I'm not here to hear music.
Okay.
If you had a church service and it was an hour and 50 minutes of music, you wouldn't find me there too long if that was continual.
Okay.
Although it could be great music. But I want to hear the Bible. I want to hear the preaching of the word because that's what delivers from deception. And if evil is getting worse and worse in the age we live in, then we need more and more truth.
Yep.
We need more and more of the word. And people seem to be getting less and less. They get, by the way, like, yeah, they read all kinds of things, even spiritual things, but not the Bible. Interesting to me.
A lot of thoughts.
And that's how you get deceived. Because what if the book you're reading, a little bit of deception in it, you know, a little bit of thing that's off balance, not really balanced with God. So the truth of God's word is so key. Coming to church to hear the truth and the preaching of the word. Coming to be around the body of Christ and hear truth from individual Christians. Study my Bible. Meditate upon the Bible, the word of God. If Satan can keep us from that, what a conspiracy.
Amen.
It's a conspiracy to remove me from the scriptures.
Mm. We need the truth. That's our program this evening, or this morning, rather. Thank you for watching The Grace Hour, for listening to The Grace Hour. We'll be back here on Monday. You can also come down to 6025 Moravia Park Drive. There's Bible College tonight with Pastor Chevelli's class tonight. At what time?
6 to 8.
6 to 8. Please come on down.
With a prayer meeting afterwards.
With a prayer meeting afterwards. And log on. Don't forget to subscribe. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google, YouTube, Spotify, so that you'll get notifications when we're on so you can continue to follow us. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
About being diverse.